football on off the ball.
Got away with his words. He's a good coach, but he's a really, really nice man as well. And I think for me, at least, that can sometimes be even more important, you know?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, Ireland beat Qatar, but the Stop the Game protest takes centre stage. St Patrick's Athletic travel to Tallaght to take on Shamrock Rovers, but can Stephen Kenny's side take down the champions? And Argentina named their World Cup squad as Lionel Messi gets ready to play in his sixth tournament. But first today, the Republic of Ireland bet Qatar 1-0 at the Aviva Stadium last night thanks to an early headed goal from Nathan Collins. Jack Moylan crossed in for the captain to score just after 6 minutes, but Hamerhill Grimson's side couldn't add the all-important second goal to kill off the game. Moylan was shown a red card for a high challenge on Jassim Gabber by Northern Irish referee Jamie Robinson just before the half-time break. Qatar themselves were reduced to 10 men with sub Almoez Ali being given his marching orders after he tussled with and then felled Jason Malumbi off the ball. However, the biggest story of the night was the game being disrupted twice in the first half by the throwing of tennis balls onto the pitch. Supporters opposed to the decision to fulfil the upcoming fixtures with Israel in the UEFA Nations League voiced their frustrations also. After the game, speaking to our own Ben Symes, head coach Hamerhill Grimson said that he respected the decision of the supporters to protest.
Yeah, I've said what I think. So everybody knows my standing in this. If Russia is banned, then I don't see the difference why Israel shouldn't be banned. I'm on record saying that, so I stand in, to that fact, saying that I need to think, and I'm here to think about the football side of things. Boycotting the game for me would be wrong, because we will be giving them gifts. We will be giving them gifts. That we will be giving them six points. We will be giving them 6-0 in goal difference. So they would qualify from the group. Probably gives them a great chance of qualifying for the Euros that is played here in Ireland. So instead, we probably would go down to League C in the Nations League. Future national teams will suffer for that. So I say we should give everything to win Israel. That's our answer as footballers, to win the game. And if the nation should be so good to help us with that, to win that game, that is just my stand. I need to think about the football side of it.
Whilst on Friday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Shane Hannon, Darris McNaughton and Enda Call discussed how the players have been put in a difficult situation.
In 1971, an ad came out in America. It featured a Native American and all the trash that was being left in the national parks in America and across America. And the tagline of it was, "People start pollution, people can stop it." It was funded by Keep America Beautiful. Do you know who funded Keep America Beautiful?
I don't.
Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and other companies that made the exact plastic that was polluting the place that these ads were talking about. In 2004, the idea of a carbon footprint was born. Do you know who came up with the idea of a carbon footprint?
I don't.
British Petroleum, the second largest private oil company in the world. And the idea behind it was to, again, place the blame on the individual. And I see very, very similar stuff happening here with the Israel situation. To an extent, I don't blame the FAI as much as I do UEFA and FIFA, but they are breaking their own rules by allowing Israel to continue to play international football. They are leaving this up to the individual.
Like, I studied history and politics in college, and I'm growing extremely concerned about the presence of certain people in football, but in sport in general. I've never seen something so horrible been made so normal. The part of me that's glad we're not going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
In a weird way, obviously I want to see my team play a World Cup, but I want absolutely no part in what's going on at the minute in football. I think it's a disgrace. I think Infantino's a disgrace. FIFA's a disgrace. UEFA are a disgrace.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Meanwhile, David Snaid of the 42 is reporting that an extraordinary general meeting of the FEI with a motion to boycott the games against Israel later this year has moved a step closer after the General Assembly backed the move. At least 10% of the 145 delegates in the membership, one of Irish football's three core governing pillars, signed a document that was sent to them earlier this week calling for an EGM. It is understood that the FEI will receive a requisition document today, and under the association's rules, an EGM could be called within 60 days. As per FEI rules, 10% of General Assembly members are required to support the call to convene an EGM. Ireland are due to face Israel in the Nations League at a neutral venue on the 27th of September before a return game in Dublin on the 4th of October. The motion to refuse to participate on both legal and moral grounds was proposed by Cork City, Bohemian FC, CK United, PFA Ireland and the Irish Football Supporters Partnership. Jade Numa, Corian Daba and Mason Melia all made their debuts on the night, whilst James Mbankwa earned a third senior cap. Cork man Ume told Ben Symes that it was a special night to earn his first senior appearance.
I have no words, honestly. I don't know not to say it anymore. I'm just grateful, you know. I'm just, you know, it's just such an experience. It's something special definitely to me and to my family, and I'm just grateful for the gaffer giving me this opportunity.
Meanwhile, Ume will sit his Leaving Cert exams next week whilst on international duty in Canada. At a meeting with the Department of Education this week to nail down logistics, it was agreed that Barry Gleason, the FEI's International Operations Director, will act as an invigilator for the exams. Despite the time difference, the exams must be held simultaneously, which means a 4:30 a.m. start for Ume on Wednesday to write his English essay before team training. English Paper 2 is at 9 a.m. Canadian time on Thursday, and it's up for Maths Paper 1 at 9 a.m. on Friday. Later that evening, Ume will talk out first country for the 7:30 p.m. kickoff, which is at 12:30 midnight Saturday Irish time at the Stadium Saputo in Montreal. Elsewhere last night, Lecce defender Corian Daba came on at left wing back for Liam Scales. He said making his debut for his country was the best day of his life.
Ecstasy of happiness. Honestly, it's the best day of my life. I can't put into words how happy I feel right now.
Can you tell us maybe what happens when the manager gives you the call up and you know you're going to be coming to the senior squad for the first time? What kind of emotions are going to your head then?
Honestly, I didn't expect to be called up, you know. I've just been working, trying my best, and he told me a week before there's a chance I'll be called up, and then obviously I've seen my name in the squad, so I can't put into it. I was just so happy, you know, and to get the debut today is just perfect for me.
Jamie McGrath made his first appearance for Ireland in 2 years in a midfield two alongside Malumbi. And after a social media video went viral calling for the Athboy man to be in the Scotland squad, Ben asked McGrath's thoughts on the matter.
It's obviously 2 years since he last put on a green jersey, and maybe people were kind of wanting you in a couple of squads, and I know you were in a couple of squads along the way. There was a clip going around Scotland where a guy was on Scotland, a podcast, and called for you to play for Scotland. Have you seen that?
I've been well aware of it, yeah. It was flying around the dressing room a few months ago, so I suppose it's positive if he wants me in the Scotland squad. It must be doing something right, but no, it was a bit of a laugh, to be fair.
Did you get in contact with them, tell them to break the news?
No, I'll let the other boys do it, to be fair.
Ireland have a rest day today before they fly to Canada on Saturday morning. They take on the World Cup hosts on June the 6th in Montreal. Tonight in the League of Ireland, all 10 teams are in action in the Premier Division. Our live commentary game comes from Tallaght Stadium as Shamrock Rovers host St Patrick's Athletic as first meets second. Tonight is the last round of fixtures before the teams break for 2 weeks. Rovers are 5 points clear of Pats in second, but have played a game more. John McGovern scored the equaliser in the Hoops 2-1 victory in the Dublin Derby last Monday against Bohemians. He told Shamrock Rovers in-house media channel that it was great to win away against their biggest rivals.
Yeah, I think as a squad and a team, we knew we needed a reset, and the Bows being a notoriously tough place to go for us and to get points there. Was brilliant. So I think we reset really well, and we knew as a team we have the quality, and we went out and showed it.
And this week on the LOI pod, Stephen Doyle was joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn, and the trio paid tribute to the Down Natives' impact last time out.
He came in last year at the end of the year, and we all kind of said, although he was mid-season, we always said that he'll be ready for next season and he'll score a lot of goals. He's raw. He is really raw, but a lot of good raw talent and attributes. goals obviously will give him confidence. The way he took that goal the other night on Monday night was unbelievable. His movement, we talked about it before, his movement, ticking Hickey into the front post, peeling off then, only three or four steps, but enough space to get that header and then executing the header as well. He looked like someone who's used to scoring those goals, but we haven't seen enough of it. And yes, John McGovern needs it. And Shamrock Rovers have scored a lot of goals. They've scored 30 goals, but they haven't got anybody on 7, 8, 9, 10 goals. So if John McGovern goes and scores between now and the end of the season 9, 10 goals, then Shamrock Rovers will be impossible to stop because everyone else is chipping in with goals. So if it is him, if it's Aaron Green, whoever it is, I think John McGovern's the natural one for me to be able to go up. He's got all the attributes. He's a good age. He's been in the club long enough now. I think that goal could kick him on. I'd like to see him doing well as well because it was a big step up. A lot of people looked at it going, ooh, from the Irish League to the Champions, he's going to find it tough. But he's forcing his way in there and he's getting goals, important goals as well.
And that is available for you to listen back to now for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. Ed McGinty and Adam Brennan won't be available for Stephen Bradley as they're in camp with Ireland. St Pat's, meanwhile, have had one win in their last five games, and that came against bottom side Waterford and Inchicore. Stephen Kenny's side have yet to beat Rovers this season and are yet to score a goal, losing both games 2-0 and 1-0. Phil Egan will be joined by Richie Towle in the commentary box, and kickoff is at 8 o'clock. You'll be able to hear live commentary on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock on News Talk and the Go Loud app. Elsewhere tonight, Derry City travelled to Dundalk as 4th meets 6th. Tiernan Lynch's side have not won since beating Shamrock Rovers 1-0 back at Celtic Park in April. Dundalk have been a little out of sorts themselves in recent weeks. The Lily Whites have won just once, that 1-0 win over Shamrock Rovers at Oriel Park in their last six. Shelburne recorded their first home win of the season last week against Waterford, courtesy of a late goal from Sean Boyd. They will look to make it back-to-back home wins this evening as they welcome Galway United to Tolka Park. The Westerners have just one win in their last seven but are still just 5 points off Shells in fifth. Bohemians will be hoping to bounce back themselves after suffering that late defeat to Shamrock Rovers on Monday. Sligo Rovers will provide tough opposition out west but will be boosted by winning 2-1 away to the champions last Friday night. Kevin Zeffy could make his debut for Rovers subject to international clearance, whilst Bows captain Dawson Devoy is set to feature before linking up with the Ireland squad. Derry United drew the Louth Derby 1-1 last Friday and have just one win in the last five games. Kevin Doherty's side are 8th and are 10 points clear of tonight's opponents Waterford, who sit at the foot of the table. Waterford picked up one win since Graham Coughlan was appointed but have had some improved performances. All those games have a 7:45 start. In the First Division, there are five games down for decision. Leaders Cork City welcome Finn Harps, the Lee side. Second place UCD host Athlone Town. Third place Wexford travel up the East Coast to take on Bray Wanderers. Bottom side Treaty United make the trip to Longford, and there's a Munster derby as Cove Ramblers welcome Kerry FC. All those games get underway at 7:45. Meanwhile, Ireland midfielder Lily Agg has taken her first steps into management. The 32-year-old, who represented Ireland at the World Cup in 2023, has been appointed the manager of the Athlone Town women's team. Agg has penned a 2.5-year contract with the Midlanders, who won the double last season.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
after
it scales, I'll have that forever.
There's the goal! That's Troy Parrott! That is unbelievable!
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the Ball.
This weekend sees the Champions League final take place in Budapest for the very first time. Arsenal are looking for their first title, whilst PSG are looking to become the first team since Real Madrid in 2018 to win back-to-back titles. And on this week's Inside the Odds, Enda Cole, Shane Hannan and myself chat around what sort of spectacle we could witness on Saturday evening.
Or Desiree Doué, and that might be the difference too. I think it'll be a goal here or there, but Arsenal don't tend to get beat, and they don't tend to get beat by more than like two goals.
How do Arsenal set up? Like, are we going to see the same old from Arteta? Will he have tricks up the sleeve?
I think it's going to be ultra defensive from Arteta, and he kind of needs to do that. Force his hand a little bit with the injuries that they have at right back as well, because like Ben White, for all that he is a more defensive minded player, he does link up quite well with Saka going forward. I don't think they get that from Hincapié or Mosquera as much. Really depends who he chooses at left back as well. Probably will be Calafiori or Incapia, depending on what he does at right back. If Timber comes in again, I don't know if he risks him in the final as a starter. But I think the midfield is probably the more interesting part, because Lewis Skelly will likely play beside Declan Rice, and I think they'll need Lewis Skelly. Obviously, Zubimendi provides more defensive cover, but what Arsenal probably really need more than that is somebody who's willing to take the ball under pressure and play out from the press, because PSG's press is the best press in Europe. So while Zubimendi is the better defensive option and you're going ultra-defensive, I think Lewis Skelly is probably the more sensible option, because they'll be under more pressure if they don't have an option to play the ball out to. So it really is going to be defined by the styles of play, because PSG are not a defensive team. No. They're really good defensively, but they're not a defensive team. Arsenal are really good defensively and not an offensive team. So I'm not expecting anything electric in this final, except for maybe a moment of magic from the PSG players to open Arsenal up.
And that Champions League final preview is available for you to listen to now for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. Click follow in your podcast feed to ensure you don't miss a single second of our football coverage. Argentina have named Lionel Messi in their final 26-man squad for the World Cup, with Gianluca Prestigiani and Franco Mastantuono among the notable omissions. Benfica's Prestigiani and Real Madrid's Mastantuono were named in the 55-player provisional squad released on May 11th, but have been cut from the reigning champions' final squad. Chelsea winger Alejandro Garnacho has also been omitted from manager Lionel Scaloni's group to defend their 2022 World Cup triumph. 38-year-old Messi is set to play in his sixth World Cup, having been included in the final group. The Inter Miami forward exited his club's final MLS game before the World Cup last Sunday with an apparent injury. Inter Miami did not provide an official diagnosis after the match, but last week, following further tests, the club indicated Messi was suffering from overload in his left hamstring, with the timeline for his return still yet to be established. Messi scored 7 goals and provided 3 assists in 7 games at the 2022 World Cup, on his way to helping his nation lift the trophy, the first time he won the competition, and win his second Golden Ball, becoming the only player to win the award twice. Meanwhile, 21-year-old Nico Paz is heading to his first major international tournament after scoring 12 goals in Serie A to help Como to their first ever Champions League qualification. There are 5 Premier League players in the Scaloni squad, with Manchester United's Lisandro Martinez joining Christian Romero, Emi Martinez, Enzo Fernandez and Alexis McAllister. Argentina will start their World Cup defence against Algeria on June 17th before taking on Austria and Jordan. And in this week's You Had To Be There, Owen Shane joined Cullen Buig and Jared Gilroy and told the story of how he tried to meet Leo Messi.
I went to South America with the intention of being in Argentina for the World Cup in 2022, but I ended up just travelling really slowly, kind of underestimating how long it would take. Like, I hadn't even got to South America, I was still in Central America by the time the World Cup started. I'm only as far as Colombia when they actually win the World Cup. One of the worst moments of my life, watching that, knowing that was my plan, that I should have been down there, but I screw the whole thing up. Anyway, fast forward a couple of months and I do eventually get to Argentina. When I'm in Buenos Aires, actually coincides with Argentina's first game at home since they've won the World Cup. So this is the big homecoming. I've ended up making friends with these two Irish lads, one of which is extremely rich. And he's put me up in the Marriott Hotel in Buenos Aires. I'd never stayed in the Marriott before. And I was walking around the executive suite in the Marriott. This is not hyperbole. I think I was the poorest person that has ever walked around the executive suite in any Marriott hotel anywhere in the world, to the point where staff were coming up looking for my room key. Like, you wouldn't do that to a VIP. Anyway, after a couple of days in this hotel, we start to notice that the staff have actually upped their game in terms of how they're dressing. The men have started to wear these kind of like sky blue ties. One of the lads asks one of the security men, "What's going on here? Why have things ratcheted up a small bit?" And the security tell him, "Well, there's a big game in town this week." As in my head is like, this has turned so far in my favour. You try and get tickets for the game. I try and get onto my contact. He just like laughs at me. He's like, "No chance you're getting tickets to this game." We go around to El Monumental, see if we can pick one up there. We can't. Doesn't matter. We're like, grand. We're in the same hotel as a team. We go back to our hotel, watch the game there, go out into the balcony, and we see this team bus coming down the main promenade in Buenos Aires, and it stops outside the hotel. We look down, there are players coming in off the bus. We rush downstairs because this is our moment to actually meet these Argentina players. So we get down to the reception and we see these lads in tracksuits walking in, but it's not the Argentina team, it's the Panama team who were playing them that night. We end up getting a picture with one of the lads in the Panama team and we all look absolutely devastated. His name is Jorge Luis Serrano. He's wearing his boots there. We Googled like the match report and Jorge Luis Serrano was an unused substitute that night for Panama against Argentina. So we couldn't even say that those boots were on the same pitch as Messi at any stage in the game.
And if you want to listen to that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed. That's all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back with more next week. Have a great bank holiday weekend.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.